Sometimes when I'm reading the passage for the week, thinking about what's going on or what I'm going to preach on, different things come into mind. Sometimes it's a song. So we sang the song earlier, 10,000 Reasons, and you hear echoes of that in this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Or here, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. But sometimes I think of people. And there's one particular person, a friend of mine, a colleague, another pastor, who came to mind as I was reading this. And he's now retired, but every time I met him, every time we met in person, one of the first words out of his mouth was, praise God. And it was this thing. And every time you saw him, he said it. In fact, even a few weeks ago, I was texting him because we were working on a project together. And I sent him a message that, hey, have you had an opportunity to look at what I sent you? His text back to me said, praise God, give me a call. And that was just what he was. I mean, if I look at through my messages, probably 3/4 of his messages have the word praise God in them. And it's just how he is, that praising God is just a part of his character. It's a part of his soul. And so it's what's in Psalm 103. And so we're going to be looking a little bit at Psalm 103 today and think about what does it mean to praise God and how do we do that? And so it opens again with these words, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. And it's a sense of let all that I am with my whole self. Eugene Peterson did a translation of the scriptures called The Message. And he translates this verse as from head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. And just think of a way to do that. And so we're talking about praise. And I said we sang that song, bless the Lord, O my soul. And translators go back and forth how to translate this particular part, whether it's bless or praise. It's different ways of thinking about it. And part of it, I think, is we don't often think about blessing God. You know, we think about ways we can bless others, the ways we can give them, wish them well, give a benefit. But what does it mean to bless God? And how can we do that? And so I think this is what it's getting at and why some translations maybe choose praise versus bless. And even over the course of the sermon here, I'll probably go back and forth between the two. Sometimes I'll talk about blessing God, sometimes praising God. And I don't think we need to get caught up too much in those distinctions. The key is praising God or blessing God is expressing gratitude. It's praising God for what he's done and who he is. And so the psalm begins, and I love that. He's like, praise the Lord, O my soul. And it's almost as if David here, listed as the writer of it, is talking to himself. How many of you talk to yourself sometimes? And sometimes maybe when you're nervous about doing something and you're getting ready to do something and you're a little bit like, oh, I don't know. And you're kind of, okay, you can do this. I got this. Or calm down. It's okay. And I think there's a sense where David's starting. He's like, bless the Lord. He's getting himself ready. He's reminding himself. He's talking to himself. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise God. He's calling on himself to bless God. And some of the translations say, bless him. Oh, my soul, and soul is, the Hebrew word is nephesh. It just means your whole self. Soul, sometimes we think of as this immaterial thing, this little floaty thing that like disappears from our body. But really, the Hebrew word nephesh means it's our whole being. And so he's saying, bless the Lord, everything I've got, all that I am, praise his name. And so praise, what is it to mean to praise? And so we go back to this. Let all that I am praise the Lord, may never forget the good things he does for me. And so part of praise is never forgetting, or what we would say otherwise, remembering, right? Part of praise is to remember what? And we do remember two things, what God has done and who God is. And so that's part of what praise is, to remember what God has done and who he is. So if we want to praise God, if we want to be like David, we want to talk to ourselves like, oh, God, I want to praise you. We remember what he's done, and so in the psalm, he gives some examples of what God has done. So verse 3, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. It's almost when you're talking to yourself and saying, I'm going to praise God. And you're thinking, oh God. And you think, God's forgiven all my sins. Notice it's all. And this word keeps repeating. It's like, not just God forgives some of my sins or God forgives all my sins. And the idea is, as we begin to remember these things, a feeling comes inside of us. an emotion, and it comes out of response. He heals all my diseases. And so we start to think, it's like, God has forgiven all my sins. And maybe we think about some of the things we've done, some of the ways we've been hurt. And we say, that's all forgiven. It's all forgiven. And the natural response or what wells up inside of us is, I got to praise God. I want to praise God for what he's done. And in fact, he hasn't just forgiven our sins. It says later, he's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. So how far is the east from the west? I mean, yeah. It's that our sin. Not only does he forgive our sins, but he's taken them away. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. And so what's going on inside of us? Maybe we're reading this, and this is one of the ways we can use these psalms. We begin to read this, and we begin to put ourselves in the shoes of the psalmist. We begin to put our shoes in the writer, of the poet. We say, God has forgiven all my sins. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed my sins. And so we begin to praise, and so you think, oh, I don't really feel like praising God today. And God says, remember this. We're invited to say, remember this. Remember your sins are forgiven. Remember I've removed them as far as the east is from the west. And then something starts to happen inside of us. But it doesn't stop there. He says he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He buys me back in a crown of love and tender mercy. And as we start telling ourselves this, it leads to this response. It's this way of saying, we don't need to. Sometimes we think, oh, I got to praise God. I've got to like build up this emotion inside myself. But God, what the poet says is, just remind yourself of what God has done. Remind yourself and praise will come out from you. So we've been forgiven. Our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. We've been redeemed from death. That's a pretty good start, isn't it? But he goes on. He says, he fills my life with good things. As we're reading this, it's almost one of these things that makes us want to stand and shout. But we're quiet folks from the Midwest and Western Michigan, right? We can't do that. We just got to sit down and be calm and quiet. But I mean, it is one of those things you start to read and you say, yes, God, this is so amazing. But there's more. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. So it's not just me God is caring for. And notice the word that shows up there again, and it shows up multiple. God gives righteousness and justice to all. And that word all shows up 6 or 7 times here in this verse, in this passage, and it's the sense of these are all the things that God has done, and God's mercy, his righteousness, his forgiveness is this all-encompassing thing. And so David, as he's writing, say, God, or he's really talking to himself, David, it's like, praise God, and then he begins to remember, so remember all these things God has done. And then he begins to praise God. And maybe you feel it too, but it's not just remembering what God has done that the poet talks about. He remembers about who God is. And so he goes on and he says this about who God is. He says, he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. So there we see his deeds, the things he's done, but also what he's like. And then in Psalm 103:8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, get angry, and filled with unfailing love. And this is a paraphrase, a quotation of one of the most important passages, I think, in the Old Testament, which is in the book of Exodus in chapter 34. And what happens in that chapter is, this is the scene, if you remember your Old Testament stories, maybe not, Moses has gone up onto the mountain. The people of Israel have been freed from slavery in Egypt. They've been taken to this mountain called Sinai, and there God is going to affirm his covenant, create this new covenant, this relationship with them, and part of it is giving them his commands, his words to them. And so Moses has gone up on this mountain. God has given him these tablets inscribed that will be a symbol of their covenant, of their relationship between the two. And then it talks about how God comes down and stands before Moses and causes his name to pass before him. In other words, God comes to Moses and says, this is who I am. And in Exodus 34, he describes this and says, so God speaks to Moses that I'm the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, abounding in steadfast love and mercy and forgiving to 1,000 generations. And there's that word, a word that shows up in there that's translated as abounding love or steadfast love.
It's this Hebrew word, hesed, and it occurs about 200 plus times in the Old Testament, and it really has a huge range of meanings, and people struggle exactly how to translate it, but we also, oftentimes, the steadfast love or the never-ending love, the love that will not stop. And it's this sense of this is who God is. And so it's another way God, David's not only saying, oh, it's not just what God has done, but it's who God is. And we remind ourselves that he is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, abounding in steadfast love. He goes on, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And so it's this sense where he's reminding himself again and again. He goes on, for he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. So God is not only distant, God understands our frailty. It's in other words, the reason we praise him. When we think about Jesus, Jesus, in fact, exemplifies this because Jesus came and lived as one of us. He understands weakness. He understands frailty. He goes on, our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers, we bloom and die. And at this point, you're thinking, okay, this is not exactly what leads me to praise. You know, like, oh, the wind blows and we're gone as though we'd never been here. Praise God, right? But what he's saying is there's this contrast between who we are, though we're like this. In other words, it's this sense of what he's reminding us of or what he's reminding himself of. And then in contrast, it's like, even though we are like this, even though we're like the grass that just blows away, even though we're just a blip in history, God cares about us. And so it's a reason to praise God. God pays attention to us even though we are like this. And his love, in contrast to our fleetingness, is forever. The love of the Lord remains forever to those who fear him. And so there's a sense of this contrast between those two things. Like, yes, we are like the grass. But God's love is forever. And even though we are small, even though we are like that, God still pays attention to us. In fact, one of the other psalms, Psalm 8, earlier in the psalmist says this, where he says, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. In other words, when I see all this great creation, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? And it's a sense of saying, even though the universe is huge, even though we are just a small part of it, even though our lives are fleeting in the grand scheme of history, God, you care for us. And the response is praise. Now, the psalm doesn't tell us to do anything, but it's a part of a songbook. It's an invitation to sing. And I think as we read it, it's saying, praise God with all that you are. Bless him with all that we are. So we can do that with our words. We can just say, praise God. There are other ways to praise God. We can praise God with our bodies. You know, sometimes people lift their hands or they wave their arm, whatever it is. We can dance. David, the one who wrote this psalm, at one point he just danced. He got up and he was dancing and he was getting excited about doing it. So I'm giving you permission, encouraging you. Sometimes, like, you know, just be dancing. When somebody's like, what are you doing? I'm praising God. You know, we're moving and doing. We can paint it. You can be an artist. You can say, I want to praise God. I want to praise God for who he is. So I'm going to create this painting or this drawing. I'm going to craft something out of wood. I'm going to do something. I'm going to write a poem about it. And so this sense of where he says, with all that I am, because oftentimes we have this temptation, a tendency, if you will, to limit praising God, or the other word we use for that is worship, to singing. We even often sometimes do that in church. We'll come from somewhere, it's like, oh, that was some great worship. And what we mean by that oftentimes is the time we were singing. But what the poet is reminding us, what David is reminding us, is praising God, worship of God, blessing God is everything. And we can do it with all that we are. With our voices, with our hands, with our creativity, all these ways, and say, praise God for who he is. And so we praise God by remembering what he has done. in who he is. So I want us to think of the, want to offer some ideas. How do we do that? How do we remember? Because we might say, okay, if I remember what God has done, and I think that's what the poet is saying, is as I remember what God has done, it's going to lead me into praise. It's going to lead me into worship. And so what are ways we can remember what God has done? I think, first of all, we begin with our own lives. And we start to think back. And I like that story, Mike, you know, where you think back, you know, where your mom was thinking about, like, here was my life story and the things that I had done and the things that she had done and reflecting on that. And so we can do that. We can reflect on our own lives and say, what has God done in my life? And I know some of you may keep a journal or somewhere where you write that down. And that's what some people find helpful. When they experience the grace and the goodness of God in some way, they write it down. Maybe they keep a big journal. Maybe there's just a list somewhere. Maybe it's on their computer or on their phone. And so in those moments, what we can sometimes do is go back and reflect on those. Because we tend to be forgetful. And I know I can be that way sometimes. I think, oh, well, I haven't really thought, you know, what has God done for me? And then you start to think back. And that's the sense of what he's doing. Remember what God has done, and so we can do that. Maybe even just at the end of the day. You're getting ready for bed or you're laying down and say, how did I experience God's goodness today? What did I see? Another way we can remember the goodness and the grace of God is by reading our scripture, by reading our Bibles. It's filled with stories of God's grace. It's filled with stories of God's love. And so as we're thinking, oh, what has God done? And so we can look back and we say, oh, look, God rescued the people out of Israel. God forgave them when they built this idol. God did this. God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus did this. God sent his spirit. God moved among the things. God is going to bring an end to creation where they're, bring a new creation where every tear is wiped away. And so we read our story and we say, this is what God has done. And one of the things that I think we do when we begin to read those stories is we naturally just say, God, you are amazing. We praise God with who we are. Another way we remember what God has done is through gathering on Sunday. We tell the stories. Once a month here at Fruitland, we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper. And we remember at the part of the liturgy that is the words we say around that is Jesus. Remembering the words of Jesus when he looks at his disciples, he took bread and he blessed, he broke it. And after supper, he took the cup in the same manner. He said, this is covenant. This is the new covenant poured out in my blood. He says, for as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And so we remember in a way when we come and we take communion, it's remembering what God has done. It's remembering those things. And as we remember, it leads us to praise. We can also remember what God has done or be reminded of it through family and friends, through stories, through small groups or your family and say, tell me about what tell me about a time where you've seen God's blessings in your life. Tell me where you've seen God at work. And as we hear those stories, we're reminded of God's goodness and it leads us to praise. Local missions and ministries. We frequently have those come and share with us here at Fruitland. Some of you participate, volunteer, work at some local missions and ministries. And one of the things, when you're part of those different missions and ministries, or you go to another church, or you visit another church, and you hear about what's going on, you're saying, look at these good things God is doing. Because we remember that God has done things, not just in our own lives. God hasn't just done things at Fruitland. God has done things all throughout the community. And so we hear stories, we say, oh, look at who God is, and it leads to praise. And so when it begins the psalm and he talks about the need to praise or the desire to praise God, he says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does. One of the things we do it is just pay attention. We ask for stories, local missions, local ministries, but around the world. What's going on in the church around the world? Because we can have a tendency maybe just think about, like, well, what's God doing here in Whitehall? Then we think, what's God doing in Muskegon? What's God doing in Michigan? What's God doing across the United States? But what's God doing around the world? Because there are millions of Christians around the world worshiping, and God is moving and doing things in amazing ways, and so we can hear their stories. And sometimes it takes a little bit of work to hear those stories. But there are websites, there are resources we can find, Voice of the Martyrs, other ones that through World Missions, through our own denomination, or through missionaries, you know, to say, here's what God is doing and what God has done. And we hear those stories, and they lead to praise. Also, we can read the history of the church and go back through the story, because the church has been around for 2,000 years. And all through that history, all through that, God has done amazing things. And so when the psalmist says, let me remember all that God has done, lead to praise. And so what I'm inviting you to do at this moment is to try some of those things. Think about your own, what's God doing in your own life. Think about what God has done in your family and friends, what God is doing in local missions, what God is doing around the world, what God has done through history, and see how that affects what's going on inside, because I think as we do that, it's going to naturally lead us to praise God. It's not like, oh, praise is something you have to do. Think of it as praise is something we get to do. Praise is something that happens simply because we see what God has done, but also who God is. And so I talked about it's also about the nature of his character. And one of the best ways to think about that is through reading our Bibles. And thinking about some of the words used to describe God in the Bible. God is abundant in truth. He's almighty. He's beautiful. He's eternal or everlasting. He's ever-present, faithful, good, gracious, holy, incomprehensible, infinite, just, living, long-suffering, loving, perfect, wise. We just hear those, like, consider those words, consider who God is. And what's the response? Praise. Praise for who God is. And so as we think through this psalm, as we hear this psalm, it's a reminder, it's an invitation. As David talks to himself, says, oh, let all that I am, let everything from head to toe praise God. Let all that I am bless God's holy name. It's a call to be and live that kind of life. To be a life where we remember what God has done. To remember all of his good deeds in our own life, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our church, in the lives of the country, in the lives of the world, throughout history. It's an invitation to remember who God is, those words we use to describe God. And as we remember, we praise with all that we are. From head to toe. So may this week, may we remember. May we remember what God has done and who God is. And then let us praise God with all that we have and all that we are. Amen.